We want to go back to Bahrain this morning and update you on what's happening in terms of the protests to the main square in the capital of Manama. We're joined by Michael Slackman, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He is in Bahrain. And Michael, we heard reports yesterday that the protesters in Bahrain were trying to use the same strategy as those in Egypt, and that's why they had gone to the main square in the capital and are trying to occupy it. Is that true?
Absolutely. The people here have had political demands for decades. What's different is the strategy and tactics. It's extremely peaceful. They've actually, initially, some of the young people here dubbed the central square here you're referring to as Tahrir Square or Liberation Square after the central place in Cairo where protesters stayed for 3 weeks forcing out Hosni Mubarak as president.
Well, I want to read you something that one of your colleagues, columnist Nick Kristoff in The New York Times, tweeted. He said, amazing that a banking center like Bahrain blocks internet to suppress protests. Never thought I'd use a sat phone here. Is the internet still down?
No, the internet was never taken down in Bahrain. The internet was slowed way down, making it virtually impossible or extremely timely for people to upload to YouTube and things like that. But as far as I know, I've never lost internet access. Twitter was never taken down. In fact, barring a page from the protests, the Interior Ministry and the Foreign Ministry here have started tweeting their own statements.
What is it significant that the security forces, although they have gathered near the protesters, are not intervening?
Yeah, that's the biggest. I mean, that amounts to a fundamental concession so far on the part of the royal family here. Bahrain's police force, which is staffed primarily, almost entirely, by foreigners, brought in here with the promise of high pay, houses, and eventual nationality, is one of the most brutal in the region. They have these very aggressive tactics in shooting tear gas, having a zero-tolerance policy. In the first 24 hours of protests, two young men were killed by the police, and both of them, it appears, were shot in the back. So the fact that after the first day, two killings, extremely aggressive tactics against the protesters, the police have been withdrawn, indicates both that the regime here realized that it was heading towards a major clash and that they were under intense international pressure to back off and allow these peaceful demonstrators to have their say.
But it also says something about the determination of the protesters that even though two people have been killed, that they have still not only are still there in the center, but as I understand, the crowds are growing.
I think to understand the psychology of the population here, you have to understand that for years and years, children here have literally been weaned on tear gas. There is a remarkable amount of politicization of the population here, unlike Egypt, which was primarily depoliticized. Again, what's different here, and I might add that the killing didn't frighten people. It galvanized them. This didn't turn into a huge mass uprising, public revolt that we see today, until those two young men were killed. And the presence of martyrs, or the falling of what the people here call martyrs, their word, not mine, has absolutely supercharged this crowd.
And so we can expect the protest to continue.
They're calling for a big protest on Saturday.
Michael Slackman, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, in Bahrain, talking about the protests that continue there. Thousands of protesters in the main square in the capital of Bahrain.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.